Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the fourth quarter earnings conference call of Aditya Birla Lifestyle Brands Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. The call will begin with a brief discussion by the company's management on the Q1 FY27 performance, followed by a question-and-answer session. We have with us today Mr. Ashish Dikshit, Managing Director, ABLBL, Mr. Dharmendra Lodha, CFO, ABLBL. I want to thank the management team on behalf of all the participants for taking valuable time to be with us. I must remind you that today's discussion may include certain forward-looking statements and must be viewed, therefore, in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. Please restrict your questions to the quarter performance and to strategic questions only. Housekeeping questions can be dealt separately with the IR team. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dharmendra Lodha. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I would like to welcome you all to the quarter one FY27 earnings call for Aditya Birla Lifestyle Brands Limited. As we reflect on the quarter, domestic demand conditions remain broadly consistent with the trends witnessed in recent quarters, despite continued global macroeconomic uncertainty. Consumer traction remained healthy and well-distributed across categories and channels. Occasion wears experienced a modest moderation, primarily due to the Adhik Maas, which temporarily impacted demand during peak wedding periods. Against this backdrop, our business delivered our third consecutive quarter of double-digit growth, driven by healthy performance across brands and channels. Importantly, this growth was accompanied by continued improvement in profitability and margin expansion during the quarter. Now, moving to the quarter one performance of our business, ABLBL revenue grew 11% YOY to rupees 2,046 crores. Within segment, lifestyle brands grew 10% YOY with revenue at rupees 1,725 crores, whereas emerging brands grew at 19% versus last year to rupees 332 crores. Within channels, retail continued to perform strongly, delivering 10% growth during the quarter, supported by healthy like-to-like growth of 8%, extending its sustained growth momentum for 7 consecutive quarters. E-commerce continued to build on the strong momentum established in quarter 3 last year, delivering robust growth of 23% during the quarter. While wholesale channel grew only 4% this quarter, underlying secondary growth was early double-digit, reflecting an overall strong performance across all the channels. Consolidated EBITDA increased by 14% YOY to Rs. 327 crores compared to Rs. 286 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, while EBITDA margin expanded by 50 bps to 16%. PAT grew 21% YOY to Rs. 29 crores. During the quarter, we opened more than 65 new stores across the portfolio. At the end of the quarter, our retail footprint stood at 3,362 stores, spending nearly 5 million square feet across more than 800 cities and towns. The expansion momentum is expected to continue more aggressively, supported by a healthy pipeline across key markets and catchment areas. We are confident to achieve our targeted expansion of more than 300 stores during this fiscal year. Now, our lifestyle brands. The business delivered a strong performance during the quarter, with revenue growing 10% YOY to Rs. 1,725 crores. EBITDA stood at 319 crores, translating into an EBITDA margin of 18.5% and an expansion of approximately 40 bps over the corresponding quarter last year. Retail continued its consistent performance, supported by healthy like-to-like growth of 7% across an extensive store network of almost 3,000 plus stores. Our small town network continued to perform strongly, delivering double-digit growth for the fifth consecutive quarter. E-commerce also maintained strong momentum, led by company's own digital platform, which recorded a growth of over 50% during the quarter. This strong performance was supported by a broader occasion-led assortment, channel-specific offerings, and disciplined go-to-market execution across both stores and digital channels. Turning to our emerging business portfolio, comprising Reebok, Van Heusen Innerwear, and American Eagle, the business delivered 19% YOY growth, supported by healthy performance across brands. Performance remained healthy across channels, with retail like-to-like growth of 11% and e-commerce growth of over 30%. Profitability also improved meaningfully, with EBITDA margin expanding by 240 bps, YOY to 4.3% during the quarter. The portfolio retail network has now crossed 400 stores, supported by continued expansion across brands, with Reebok leading new store additions and the overall network footprint. In conclusion, the quarter reinforces our confidence in the underlying strength of our business and the resilience of our portfolio. While the external environment remains dynamic, our diversified brand and channel mix, disciplined execution, and continued focus on driving efficiency position us well to navigate near-term fluidity in the market. Cost pressures remain manageable during the quarter with limited impact on performance. We will continue to respond through disciplined sourcing, prudent management of operating expenses, and appropriate business actions wherever required to maintain financial discipline. As we look ahead, our priorities remain clear in terms of strengthening the ABLBL's business model to deliver the desired financial outcomes, sustained double-digit growth, high margin expansion, and continuous cash generation through sharp focus on execution. We are now open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Archana Menon with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for the double-digit top-line growth. My first question was on the lifestyle brands business on the wholesale side. Could you help us understand what is the reason for the divergence between primary and secondary sales this quarter and how should we be thinking about that going ahead?
Hi, Archana. This is Ashish here. I think the primary difference was slight marginal delay in the festive period this time, which pushes a lot of primary billing into the second quarter. It's a shift of 10-15 days. So when you look at quarter two, you will find the quarter one plus quarter two in as strong a place as rest of the channels. And that's why we mentioned the secondary continues to remain strong. You'll see it even out between Q1 and Q2.
Okay, understood. Also on the cost side, what is the kind of inflation that you are seeing for your portfolio right now? And has any price hike been taken? Also, how should we be expecting margins to shape up in the coming quarter?
Actually, as far as first quarter is concerned, there's been marginal to no cost pressure because most of this was committed much earlier. So we haven't seen any part of that or a very small part of it. For the second half of the year, and particularly between Q2 and Q3, we expect between 3 to 4% cost increase. This is a function of both raw material prices, higher logistics cost, in some cases, higher labor cost also due to minimum wage impact. Overall impact that we have assessed at this point of time ranges between 3%-4%. We expect a large part of it to be a major part of it passed on consumers, some through productivity and the rest through cost rationalization. So we don't feel a material change in margin on account of this.
Understood. Also, just two bookkeeping questions from my side. Would it be possible to break down the 19% growth for emerging businesses by brand? And what would be your overall marketing expense as a percentage of revenue this quarter and in the base quarter?
So the brand-wise revenue we don't reveal, you know, Achana, but to give you a comfort, the two main businesses, which is Reebok and Innerwear, are closer to the overall high double-digit number. American Eagle is slightly lower on that. On marketing expenditure, it's slightly lower than last year because last year we had invested in IPL. This year we moved primarily to digital advertising, but still about 3-4% of sales, about 3.5% in this quarter.
Thank you so much, Ashish. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Videesha Seth with Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. My first question was if you can talk about the consumption landscape in the month of July. Have you seen any, have you seen the broader trend sustain or seen them improve in context of 1Q being impacted to some extent from other months?
So I don't see a dramatic shift other than the seasonality factors which happens. There is EOSS period which happens in July and that therefore it's difficult to figure out underlying demand. So I would say the broader trajectory that you've seen in Q4 last year and this year, that continues to be pretty much
And in case of the small town store network, this is the second quarter wherein you all delivered double-digit LTL. What is driving the same? And if you can help us out with the overall revenue contribution or store presence salience of the small store format?
We have off our network more than 500 stores in small towns. We have, as you correctly noted, for almost a year plus, we are finding much stronger growth in smaller town network. A part of it is execution, but I would also say a part of it is these markets have recovered from and we are finding it consistent.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. There's a lot of disturbance at your end and you're not audible. Videesha, please stay connected.
Sure.
I don't know, Videesha, if you got the earlier part of my answer.
Is it possible to repeat the same one part you mentioned was execution, but even within execution, is it more of new launches being focused on the lower price points or a faster pace of innovation?
I would say that's the integral part of small town strategy. We have revised merchandise mix done over last several years to particularly address. So that's not changed at all. I think it's the environment and the market conditions in small town which is the bigger driver of shift. And we stay very confident about growing this part of the business with almost a year and a half, almost fifth quarter of strong double-digit growth.
Second, what has driven this shrinkage in gross margins that we see YOY, considering the fact that wholesale as a channel has underperformed versus the retail piece? So anything particular that you'd like to call out here?
No, not really. This quarter is marginally lower than last year. Most of it happens because of provisioning that we do quarter on quarter depending on the situation. I don't think this is material or meaningful in any sense.
Sure. And just one small clarification to the earlier comment. So you talked about how there could be 3 to 4% cost increase in the remaining part of FY27. So how could you land up mitigating the same in terms of avoiding margin compression? So I did hear that you called out on sourcing or the sourcing efficiencies or the productivity part of it playing out. But are you looking to take any price hikes in the portfolio?
Yes, we have taken smaller price hikes. They are not very large, but we have taken price hikes to compensate for that.
Okay. Possible to call out the quantum of the price hike, ballpark?
It varies across brands and categories, but it is primarily to take care of large part of this increase, primarily to offset this. So this is no other parameter.
Okay, got it. I'll get back in the queue. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Sameer Gupta with IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone, good evening and thanks for taking my question. So firstly, I know this was discussed partly, but there is still a gross margin contraction of around 150 basis points this quarter. And you mentioned that the RM pressure hasn't really reflected in this particular quarter. So what exactly is driving this GM contraction? Is it more of a mixed thing? Is it higher discounting or provisioning that has led to this? If you could elaborate on that, sir.
Yeah, I think as I mentioned before, this quarter has not seen raw material price increase in any tangible manner. So that's not the reason driving it. It's a combination of channel mix because different channels have different gross margins and slightly higher provisioning, which also keep moving quarter on quarter. Our policy is consistent, but its application delivers slightly different results. So this quarter we seem to be on slightly adverse side. But it's not material. It'll even out as we progress during the year.
And the higher provisioning is also influenced by the change in festive timings, etc.?
Not really. It's actually, we have a consistent policy of taking a certain level of provisioning depending on the age of the inventory, and it keeps moving on. So some quarters you find it higher, some quarter lower. I don't think I can attribute it fully to that. And a part of it is, of course, channel mix.
Sure, sir. No worries. Second question, and again, you mentioned it in some ways, but just wanted to you to elaborate on this. So most of the plants are located in Karnataka, and the government there has announced a very sharp increase in minimum wages. What we understand from industry is that it is yet to be affected, but and in any case, garment is currently excluded. But let's say if the hike was to include garmenting as well, what kind of impact do you foresee in near term, and what kind of measures would be taken to mitigate the same?
So we have a diversified now, increasingly more diversified portfolio of our manufacturing base. First of all, a large part of our sourcing happens outside. Manufacturing constitutes about 40% of our overall production. That manufacturing also has got diversified in the last few years between Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh and Orissa. So there is a diversified play. As you know, the current increase is withheld and it's still at the high court level. We will respond appropriately as we find a decision coming on that.
Got it, sir. And just to clarify, the increase which is withheld is basically was the garment was never the part of it in any case, right?
Yes. So it was never part of it. Therefore, we are out of it and that's been our stance. But in any case, longer term diversification is also under play, and that's what we've been doing over the last several years.
And the minimum wages which you were referring to in your opening remarks, that was basically to do with
that
other states like UP, Haryana and
Telangana. Yes, primarily other states.
Got it, sir, got it. Last question, if I may squeeze in. So e-commerce as a channel has witnessed very strong growth within lifestyle brands. This is the last three quarters at least that we are talking. And can you tell us about the economics of this channel a bit? Where does it sit in the overall profitability piece? Is it on an EBITDA or a contribution per piece level across channels? Where does it rank and how has it moved over time? I understand that you're not participating in this channel a few years back meaningfully. So what really has changed maybe in the industry landscape or from your own efforts, which is leading to this kind of growth?
Yeah, I would. It's a good question, and thanks for highlighting this. If you look at the overall trend over last 3 to 4 years, you would heard commentary from me and Vishak over the years on how we have sort of let some of the growth opportunity in e-commerce pass. A prime part of it is a large part of this growth was driven by steeper discount, very competitive pressure, which at some level gets you growth, but the quality of growth is suspect. And we have therefore been very disciplined about it. Over the years, we have managed to bring this channel profitability very close to our retail profitability. It's just marginally lower than our retail profitability. And now that we have got to this level, having exercised a very disciplined and patient approach to building this channel, you are starting to see the growth on that base. And that's the result that's going through. I'm very confident from here on we'll be able to grow this channel in line with the growth and organic growth and opportunity this channel offers, without having to pursue margin dilutive or very highly discounted growth.
Got it, sir. That's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Devanshu Bansal with Emkay Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The PPT mentioned that inflation needs to be watched out, right? So from a consumption perspective across various consumption aspects, the consumer is facing inflation. I wanted to check, as per your experience, what can be the possible impact on demand because there is inflation across several categories, and we have also taken some price hikes, right? So how do you view the upcoming quarters from that perspective?
So I think we have called out a small bit of caution around it. We were nervous about it even as we entered Q1, entering Q2. So far, we haven't seen a shift, at least a meaningful shift in demand trajectory. But we are cautious that this may play out in the second half of the year, and therefore we have called out in our commentary. And as and when it plays out, we will obviously have to respond to that at that point of time. There is a benefit of small price increases. We have made sure that those are very, very minimal. And at least from the price side in apparel, you won't see meaningful inflation. But yes, in consumers' overall wallet, there is an inflation. So that's the only point. At this point of time, we have not seen on ground an impact of it. And we will keep watching as we go along.
Got it. Got it. And sir, you typically do this study on brand recall, right? So in our investor day, we highlighted that some of the brands stand low. If you have done any recent study, if you could highlight what are the key takeaways from that across our key lifestyle brands, it will be helpful.
So I think there is nothing, no big, because these equity results build equity over a long period of time. And the performance has been stable. We've been doing it over 20, 25 years. We do it annually. I don't see a big shift. Some of our bigger brands obviously have benefited from larger exposure and over a longer period of time. Continue to remain strong. There's nothing which has changed dramatically for us to call out at this point.
Got it. And you addressed this online part in terms of improved profitability for this channel. Now, quick commerce is also sort of gaining strong traction, right? So if we see our positioning on that particular channel, if we could highlight which brands can take good amount of traction in that channel, it will be helpful.
So we work with all the large and meaningful operator in quick commerce. At this point of time, considering our size, quick commerce is very, very small, a very small part of, unlike regular consumption category, fashion business has remained, at least the premium fashion has remained small. We continue to participate, but overall size of the business has not been very significant at this point for us.
Sir, which consumption occasions can be catered, as in maybe formal, casual? What's your sense, initial sense, as in what all consumption demand can be catered, which all maybe the brands can benefit specifically in your portfolio, if you have any initial things that you can highlight?
I think innerwear is the largest part of our current business as far as quick commerce is concerned. There is a small bit of regular formal wear, but it's very small at this point. I don't think I can call out any meaningful piece. There may be other occasions like party or going out, which probably have tendency and potential to move to quick commerce in a slightly higher level, but all those cumulatively at this point of time are small.
Okay. So this last one from my end, because we have sort of demerged the business recently. So based on your historical understanding, so typically from a revenue PAT salience perspective, what is the ballpark percentage that this quarter sort of contributes for the overall year? If you could throw any kind of light on this front.
This quarter is typically about 18, slightly higher than 20%, between 21-22%.
And this is on revenue, you're saying?
Yes, I'm talking of revenue.
Okay, anything on EBITDA PAT perspective? As in, because I guess margins also keeps changing.
As you know, the business has high operating leverage. So 20% of revenue comes down to less than half of that, 10-odd percent, even less than that as far as the profitability is concerned, either at PBT or PAT level. Very ballpark numbers. I mean, you'll have to look at the past very closely, but.
Got it, sir. Thank you for taking my questions.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Jiganshu with Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask if you can add some more color on the lifestyle retail channel performance.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Jignanshu. Your voice is breaking up. Could you please change your location and use your phone on the handset mode in case if it's not on handset?
Am I audible now?
Yeah, a little better. Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, sure. So I wanted to...
You're breaking up again, Jignanshu.
Okay, let me join again, please. Sorry.
Okay, sure. The next question comes from the line of Hemant Shah with NMAMC. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand on brand Asian innerwear. Broadly, we could be at about 38,000 to 40,000 trade updates. Where do you see this going in the medium to long term?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you clearly, but are you saying where do we see the distribution network going?
Yes.
I think at this point of time, we will continue to, because compared to the overall size of the market, we're still under-penetrated with 38,000-40,000. Over next couple of years, we expect, in line with the overall growth, about 20% kind of addition in the network as well.
Secondly, again, on the VAN, where do you see the traction? So is it in the—
I'm sorry to interrupt, Hemant. Your voice is not audible. It's quite muffled. Please change your location and use your phone on the handset mode in case if it's on hands-free.
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, but it's quite— your voice is quite muffled. It's not clear.
Is this better?
A little bit, yes. You may go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Ask your question. I mean, if you can.
Just wanted to understand the traction in the price points. So, whether entry level price points are doing well, premium doing well. What is the current market scenario in terms of price points?
So I don't think I can talk about the market as much. As far as our business is concerned, as you know, we are the largest part of our business at the premium end, and that's the part which is growing with us. We still have opportunity at the entry price points, but the current traction is more at the mid to premium end, which is the higher end of the market.
Just last one on Reebok. Just wanted to understand whether we are facing any BIS related issues, and if you could also explain the sourcing in brief.
So BIS does remain a problem, as you know, the factories have to get the BIS approval on an ongoing and annual basis. And we are still continuing to operate with a couple of factories outside India. But as a part of our overall long-term strategy, we have built a very strong domestic base so that we are not impacted when the regulatory changes come in. For international imports, we are constantly creating substitute and Indian sourcing and vendors. Our factories which we import from are currently BIS enabled. But that's a process that we'll have to update every year because it comes up for annual renewal. So we're basically continuing to diversify while our current operations and current source, which is from outside India, is very stable.
Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Mohammed Harris with ES Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to ask, you mentioned the traction is there in the mid to premium price point, while the overall growth in rural stores has been good as well. So shouldn't this be— the growth should be more from the value format side, right, and not from the lifestyle brand side, as for my understanding?
No, as we reported, lifestyle brands are growing. This is seventh quarter of strong like-to-like growth. So consistently same stores, and a large part of the network and lifestyle brands business is in bigger cities, let's say top 30, 40 cities, which contribute to significant part of it. So they're growing extremely well. They're solid, robust, well-rounded growth consistently delivered over a long period of time. The only point is the smaller part of the business, currently the smaller town portfolio is relatively small as overall portfolio, but it's growing even faster. It is a long-term growth driver, small format, and therefore we continue to talk about it as it has emerged from a period of relatively low base in, let's say, 23 to 25. Last year and a half, we are beginning to find very strong growth coming in small town as well.
That is right. Understood, sir. And these in smaller towns would be the Peter England stores mostly, right? The value format.
No, I think Alan Solly, Van Heusen, and in some cases even Louis Luth has these small town stores. So it's while Peter England is the largest, Other premium brands also have distribution there.
Okay, sir. And roughly in terms of FY26 numbers, if you can give that brand-wise, what is the size currently? I know you don't give very detailed numbers, but anything ballpark figures per brand, that would be very helpful, sir.
So we don't. I mean, there's a reason we've stayed consistent at the level of reporting that we do. I don't think I want to give further split. We don't give at that level.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions.
Participants, please press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Jignanshu Gor with Bernstein. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Am I audible now?
Yes, very clear, Jignanshu.
Okay, great. Thank you for the opportunity and sorry for the disturbance earlier. I wanted to take your help and double click on the lifestyle brand LFL growth that we have seen, I think as you mentioned, Ashish, quite consistently now over a few quarters. So sort of a few questions to understand that growth better. One, what is our assessment? Are we gaining market share in those micro markets or are we sort of growing in line with the industry? Second, is the growth driven more by sort of footfalls, conversion, price? How are we thinking about this in the future and what's sort of our North Star metric for this? Yeah, thank you.
So I think if you look at retail channel, we do believe our growth is definitely marginally ahead of the industry because we are talking of 7-8 quarters of consistent high single digit, some quarters double digit growth for lifestyle brands. So that's been very robust, and this is over 3,000 plus stores across the country, north, south, east, where different formats, small, high street. So fairly robust and well-rounded growth over a long period of time. I think the largest driver to my mind has been, and that's been the story of these brands, is really around continuously contemporizing merchandise, improving store experience and service. Part of it also comes from continuous premiumization, which comes with superior product, better fabric, and equivalent, therefore, price increases. So it would be split between price increase and footfalls, but probably even if I don't have the exact breakup, but over longer term, when I see half of it at least would be coming through premiumization.
Okay. Okay, and this is helpful. And this would be across all our four major lifestyle brands, or would you say one is more geared towards premiumization versus one towards more volumes?
So I think the three premium brands, Louis Philippe, Van Heusen, Allen Solly, definitely are more primed for premiumization, and you see that in the products. Peter England has both sides of it. There is a premiumization in the brand, and at the same time, there is a sharper value proposition which drives the small town business, which is larger than Peter England. So it plays at both ends of the mid-premium market.
Great. And just quick follow-up to this. Are we also seeing any, I think the last time that we did, the last two times in our investor days, when we have presented the mix of categories between these brands, between formal and informal very broadly, informal share has been increasing. Since we sort of presented this data in the investor day last, has there been a meaningful further shift or is it broadly stable now, the split between formal and informal wear?
I think it continues to grow. The share of casual wear continues to grow. So I won't say it's stable. We have seen even in a period of 1 year, you would find typically between 2 to 3 percentage point increase in the share of casual wear.
Okay. Very helpful. Thank you. I think that's the question I had. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Aditya Bansal with Motilal Oswal Financial Service. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Can you first confirm the gross store additions for this quarter? Did I hear it correct? It was 65?
It was 68 was the gross store.
And if I look at on a net basis, the numbers are quite low. So can you just explain in terms of like what is still driving this ambition of future?
So typically what we do is at the beginning of the year, we take calls on the rationalization of network. Somewhere around January-February when we've seen the season post-Diwali and evaluated the network performance. And between February to July, which is before the peak season, is when we take the actual implementation of the closures because some of them have notice periods, etc. So you'll always find that this part of the year will have more closure while the expansion is actually more towards the second half of the year.
Sure. That's helpful. And when we talk about 300 store additions, I presume we are talking about gross. Can you just help us understand like what would be the same on the net basis?
On a net basis, I think we will close in the year between 120 to 140 odd stores, sometimes little higher, sometimes little lower. And therefore, the net number would be a function of where we end up with that. So somewhere net number between 150 to 200 stores versus the gross number closer to 300 stores.
So like if I look at in terms of store openings, that will be like, I'm also assuming some increase in the store size, so that will hardly contribute to a mid-single digit sort of a growth. So like what are our views in terms of this LFL sustaining, even though we are doing a lot of closures? So what is it that we are building so that we can deliver a consistent double-digit growth here?
So if you do the math, I mean, 200 stores on a 3,000 store network, typically slightly larger than the base network, should give us higher than 5-6% kind of network-related growth. We also believe we have demonstrated over a long period of time between 7-8% kind of like-to-like growth. So sometimes some numbers are higher, some numbers are lower, but that gives us confidence retail can grow in early double digits.
Sure. Thank you. All the best.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Prerna Jhunjhunwala with Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just wanted to understand how your brand portfolio is catering to the Gen Z target audience, and how are you looking forward to add stores between Tier 1, Tier 2 and Tier 3, as Tier 2 and Tier 3 are actually driving growth across brands currently. So need clarification on these two. Right.
So as far as Gen Z customers are concerned, I think each of the brand has proposition which is more reflective in the merchandise individually. It is arguably smaller part of our current business, but brands are focusing on ensuring that customer is somebody we don't lose out on. A significant part of our effort in merchandising shift is actually built around that. On the
could you elaborate network, on this? How are you looking forward to increase the share of Gen Z, how much it could reach going forward, and what are the...
I don't have the numbers to share that with you, but this is the effort of each of the brands as they create designs and merchandise for the customer, because a lot of it is about the kind of products that you make. And because that's something that's an ongoing process, each of the brand has been working on that, and that's a part of our business. Of course, some brands are more tuned to it, brands like Reebok, etc. Similarly, Peter England has a sub-brand called Vibe Collections in Allen Solly. So each of the brand has part of their portfolio which is dedicated to address these customers. And over a period of time, we expect this part to grow. Some have clear sub-brands, some have collections or parts of merchandise, but that's the part of portfolio that will grow with time. As far as the... your second question was around distribution expansion. See, we have distinct strategies for
large metros, big cities versus small town customer. And a part of what you heard in today's conversation about fifth consecutive quarter of high double-digit growth in small town is primarily a reflection of our ability to uniquely address those markets in terms of retail format, price proposition, the kind of merchandise assortment. So we understand that India is tiered and different customers are looking at different kind of merchandise selection, and we have created that ability in the system to operate both at the metro and tier one at one level and tier three and tier four at another level.
So what will be the growth currently in these markets, tier one versus tier two and tier three?
So tier three, tier four markets where small towns are, which is a small part of our business, is growing in excess of 15%. While metros in tier one is growing closer to 10%. So that's the kind of difference that we have for last year, year and a half. The picture was slightly different 2 years back, 2.5 years back, when the smaller towns were actually under pressure and some of them were declining or growing very marginally. But that's changed in last 18 months.
Understood, sir. Thank you and best wishes. This is very helpful.
The next question comes from the line of Devanshu Bansal with MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Sir, hi. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. This question is to understand the business performance of Reebok better. We are seeing a very strong revenue growth trend for this particular business. So firstly, I wanted to check whether secondary growth trends are ballpark in line with the current primary growth trends, or this primary growth is also being helped by network addition that we are doing, right? And secondly, it's more from a medium to long-term perspective, as in how do you see this brand evolving, right? So what are the key channels of growth that we anticipate for this particular brand? Maybe from a product value proposition perspective, what are the kind of consumers or price points that we are targeting, which can help to sort of ramp up this brand. So these were the two questions that I wanted to understand.
Okay, thanks. The first part of the question on how organic is this growth, I think, I don't know if you mentioned before, but Reebok has the highest like-to-like growth in the network, close to mid-double digits last few quarters. And that tells you the organic strength and momentum that the business has. Even secondaries in department stores and other channels is in high double digits. So very strong secondary performance is actually fueling organic growth across the channels. The business continues to, as we had mentioned, the entire emerging portfolio itself is growing at 20%. And we expect Reebok to lead that portfolio with slightly higher growth rates. That's the trend we're watching for last 3-4 quarters. And we think on an annual basis also, that's the kind of growth that we can deliver. In terms of channel, it's a very strong brand which is hugely underpenetrated. So I would say the opportunity exists across all the channels. We are rebuilding retail. For a brand of this size and nature, our other premium brands have between 500 to 700 stores. Reebok is still in 200-odd stores at this point of time. So there is a long runway on retail. Wholesale business also, as we are building channel distribution, is growing very, very rapidly. We have mentioned in past, we also started to now take Reebok to smaller town with a slightly differentiated product and price proposition. Exactly what we have done with the rest of other brands. We started opening unique retail concepts for smaller towns, and we are developing that over a period of time that would allow Reebok to travel much deeper in this country versus where the typical sportswear brands have been in the past. So multiple growth opportunities. E-commerce, again, is a business that we have been very disciplined in the way we are building that channel. It's, again, a large part of our portfolio. So it's a brand which is which has a huge potential, but currently the footprint across all channels has been very small. That's why it's allowed us to grow this business from 250 to 500 crores, and we still feel confident over longer term, closer to 20% growth rate is what is possible for this business.
Understood. So this is very helpful. A subpart to it, I've also wanted to understand, as in from a category perspective within Revolve, are we also sort of focusing on women or maybe from an apparel perspective, which can be a key differentiated offering? So if you could throw some light there also, women and apparel within Revolve.
So yes, both are growth drivers, and apparel, because we have intrinsic deep capability. When we acquired the business, it was less than about a fourth, a little more than a fourth of the business. As we progress, we have brought it to almost a third of a business. So 32-33% kind of business apparel from 26-27% when we acquired the business. So that itself is growing quite strongly. Women's wear is still small. I think that opportunity is a much larger opportunity. We are working on Prada. There are specific collections that we are launching focused on it. But again, it's new to the Reebok in its current form and currently very small. But that's another large growth driver that's available for us.
Okay. I just wanted to double check. You said current scale is 250 crore. As in, is that what you said?
No, no.
It was 250 stores to 500 stores.
No, no. I was talking about when we acquired this business 2.5 years back.
Okay.
We more than doubled in less than 3 years. And I think the current trajectory gives us confidence that we can further double it in another three and a half years.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much.
The next question comes from the line of Rajiv Bharti with Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, Rajiv. You are not audible.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Please
yes,
go ahead.
Now we can.
Yeah. On the emerging business,
you are again not audible, Rajiv. Hello, Rajiv, we are still not audible.
Yeah. Can is it better now?
Yes, much
yes.
better.
Yeah, I'll just try. So on the emerging business side, can you give what is the classification in terms of channel mix there? Because we don't have history of how it used to be earlier.
So I don't think it's dramatically different, except that the share of retail... I think our lifestyle overall portfolio is about 65%. In emerging business, it's a little lower as far as the retail is concerned. Wholesale and e-commerce are a little bit higher, primarily because of Innerwear, which is a large wholesale business, and Reebok, which is a meaningfully large e-commerce business. So I think the only difference versus the overall profile is a slightly smaller retail compared to the overall size of the business, slightly larger wholesale and e-commerce.
Sure. And coming to Innerwear in particular, how the growth and
Rajiv, your audio is breaking up again.
Sorry about this.
Are you there, Rajiv?
I tried to join the queue. Hello.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Bharat with MC Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just missed two data points. At the gross level, what is the store addition that we plan, and what is the consequent figure for the net store addition every year? You said that.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question? You said network addition is gross in net level. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So
your audio is breaking up. Could you please change your location and use your phone on the handset mode, please?
Okay, okay, sure, sure.
Sir, I was saying that on the gross and net store addition every year that you plan, what would be the rough figures that we should work with?
So I had mentioned for this year, we'll have more than 300 stores as far as gross is concerned, and between 150 to 200 stores. This is the net description.
Okay, okay, okay. And sir, you talked about the small format stores that we are, you know, specifically targeting for the small towns. So what would that be, what would that proportion be in the overall network currently, and what is your strategy going in the medium to long term of that?
So our overall retail revenue, it is about 1/6 or so in small towns. So it's still small, although the network is about 500 odd stores, but the overall revenue is about 15-16%. That portion is growing faster, and you know the opportunity is also larger. Over the next 3-4 years, I think it will be more than 20% of our portfolio.
Sir, you said 15-16% of revenues, but what was the store count? What would be that? And is it
about 500 stores.
500 stores, okay. And over the next 3 to 5 years, we approximately of revenues.
Yeah, 20% in terms of revenue.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Rajiv Bharti with Nuvama Wealth Management. Please go ahead. Rajiv, you're still not audible.
Maybe I'll try to get offline. Sorry.
Sure. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. On behalf of the management, we thank all participants for joining us. In case of any further queries, you may get in touch with Mr. Amit Dwivedi. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect your lines.